fun? You guys, you did excellent. I knew this church had rhythm, all right? You guys did really awesome. All right, let me pray really quick. I'm going to pray for the kiddos, and we're going to dismiss them, and then we'll keep worshiping God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, we are so thankful, just as we sang, that you are on your throne, and you're ruling and reigning, and you have given us so many reasons to praise you, Lord. And we're so glad that we could come together and do that today. And one of those many things is our children, Lord. We're so thankful for them. And we want them to understand your goodness as we have, so they have a reason to praise as well. So as they go back to their classes, may you bless them. May you anoint the teachers to share Jesus with them, to teach them your word, to teach them of how good you are and all the good things that you have in store for them. So they leave this place full of thanks, just as we've come, Lord. So bless them as they go back to their classes. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, you are dismissed. You can head back to your classes. And I'm going to briefly share, because the goal today or the theme is just thanks, and we want to spend most of our time giving thanks. But I just want to briefly talk about one of the many things that the Lord has given us to be thankful for, if not the main thing. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 7, looking at verses 36 through 50. And it says here that one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with them. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. So if you guys don't know who the Pharisees are, they were some of the Jewish religious leaders at the time here, and basically they would also act kind of as a town mayor, like a welcoming person. So if there was somebody in town that had some sort of reputation, that was well known, they would take it upon themselves to do the polite thing and invite that person over for dinner. So Jesus must have had a reputation, a good reputation amongst the people. And this Pharisee goes ahead and he invites him over to his house for dinner. And it goes on to say in verse 37 that when a certain immoral, or the idea is sinful, woman from the city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. And then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. So in comes this woman, and she has a reputation amongst the people as basically being sinful or immoral, and very likely she probably had the occupation of a prostitute to have this type of reputation. And basically that was a profession at this time that would have looked down, it would have been looked down upon and considered very shameful in this culture. And here she comes uninvited into this dinner party, and she just goes straight to Jesus, where she proceeds to fall at his feet, and she's crying, and she's using her tears, and she's using her hair to clean his feet, and she's kissing and anointing them with this expensive perfume. And prostitution basically back then was a position of poverty. So this perfume, it says it was expensive, so it might have been the only thing, or maybe one of the few things that she possessed of any value, yet she's using it and just giving it away to Jesus at his feet. And it most certainly would not have been a normal occurrence, this whole scene, this uninvited woman just kind of barging in and falling at Jesus' feet. And it probably would have been considered by the people there to be a very scandalous thing, something that would have led to her being mocked and even more ridiculed than she already was for this negative reputation that she had amongst the townspeople. Yet, best we can tell, she doesn't seem to be scared of that idea or fazed at all by the idea that people might be looking down upon her even more for doing what she's doing. Instead, she just comes right in and she just wants to get to Jesus. And it says in verse 39, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, or basically he was thinking this in his head, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. And then Jesus answered his thoughts, or he basically knew what this Pharisee was thinking in his head. And he says, Simon, said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. And then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of the other, but neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. Jesus, trying to help Simon view this woman correctly, as he might have seen her external appearance and reputation, but he was failing to see and care about this human being that was hurting. And Jesus is trying to use the story to help Simon understand the root of his problem, is those that don't really understand their need for grace often are the ones that have the most difficulty showing it to others. Even though Simon didn't see her correctly, Jesus did. And he goes on to say, when I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. All of these things Jesus pointing out were customary actions for a host to take towards a guest if they really cared about that guest. But Simon failed to do these things for Jesus, where this woman didn't. And it goes on to say in verse 37, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. And then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Now, this woman must have understood who Jesus truly was, Jesus having told people up to this point that he was the Son of God, or he was God in the flesh. He was equal with God, though not everyone understood and believed that. But her actions would show this total heart of humility and just wanting to come and fall at his feet. And as Jesus points out in verse 47, whereas the Pharisee thought he was okay, not really in need of any help, this woman completely understood that she was in trouble as a sinner and needed Jesus to save her, this being what the Bible calls repentance. And in response to Jesus's loving acceptance of her, she showed her love toward him in the only way she knew how, through falling at his feet and worshiping him with everything she had. And this woman, looked down upon by so many others in society because of her sin, got the best news she could ever receive in verse 48, and that was that that sin was completely forgiven. And then going on to say in verse 49, the men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? As they knew that only God himself could do that, and they hadn't come to believe that Jesus was in fact God yet. And it goes on in verse 50, and then Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This being what Jesus leads, or believing in Jesus, or putting your faith in Jesus leads to. First, he saves us, and then he sends us into the world to be his witnesses with a peace that can only come from knowing that you have been made right with God and restored to have fellowship with him. Amen? And like this woman, many of us have come to realize that we too are guilty of many sins. Yet Jesus saw and accepted us as well, and we've gone away forgiven of those sins because we believed in him. Amen. We came to Jesus broken, but we went away in peace, having been healed, just as this woman was. And because of this great love that's been demonstrated us by Jesus, arguably the greatest demonstration of love, in that God, Jesus being equal with God, humbled himself to come and be born as a virgin. What we're going to be celebrating next month, Jesus's birth, Jesus being God, humbled himself to be born as a person and live a life on this earth. It's unthinkable. As a human being, even though he was fully God, he became fully man, and he lived on this earth a sinless life, something only God could do. to die a sinner's death on a cross, not for any sin that he was guilty of, but for every sin that you and me and every other person in this world committed. There was a price that was due for that sin, and what the Bible says is it's death. The wages of sin is death. And God, loving us so much, not wanting to see us die for our sin, sent his son to die in our place. And Jesus willingly did that, paying the just price, the penalty our sin deserved, so that if we believe that, if we repent like this woman and we turn to God acknowledging our sin and we ask for forgiveness because of what Jesus has done for us, we will be forgiven. And we will be made right with God and restored. And as we experience that love God has for us, we love him in return. And like this woman, the only rational way to respond to him is with worship. And that's what we're doing here this Sunday. That's what we're doing. For as I said at the very beginning, one of the many reasons, the greatest reason he's given us, and that is the forgiveness he has offered you through faith in his son, Jesus. There is no greater gift that could ever be given to any of us than to, like he said to this woman, say, your sins are forgiven. You can go in peace now, knowing that you are right with God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let me pray and let's keep worshiping the Lord then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the forgiveness you've given us through faith in your son. We didn't earn it. There was nothing that we did to deserve it. But we're so thankful for it, Lord. And we're here this morning to give you praise for that amongst all the other good things about you and good things you've done for us in our lives. May we be reminded of the great many sins that we've been forgiven of and have the same heart of worship as this woman in this passage this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Man, you guys showed up to worship today and praise. It just makes me excited. Please sit down. I'm going to talk for a few minutes, hopefully not too long. And what I hope to do is continue to encourage you guys in just the theme here of thanksgiving and praise. And also maybe for the folks that are a little bit frozen chosen out there that don't really get the singing part, give you something, maybe a reason to rethink that. We'll wait until the word is shared. The word's going to be shared, and we're going to worship, but we can be edified, and we can be encouraged, and we can bring God glory through both. So I'm going to start out by reading to you from Psalm 100. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's only five verses, and I'll be reading from the NLT. Lord, please bless your word as we read it and encourage our hearts as we look to your word and continue to give you praise and worship. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now listen to this part. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation." Thank you, Lord, for your word. Guys, so I said I want to just encourage you to continue what you're doing. And I was like praying about whether I should share this in the best shared part of it. I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. I'm on the right page. Sometimes, you know, pastors, we can second guess ourselves and we're looking for the Lord to kind of confirm. And I feel like he did that. So what I love about this psalm and why I chose to share it was, the first thing is it commands us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, to go into his courts with praise, to give thanks to him and praise his name, which is what we're doing, right? And so I think we can safely conclude that that's the right thing to do. That's the right way to approach God, is with thanksgiving and praise. That's all throughout the Bible, not just in the psalm, but it certainly is here. And I like that. I like how it's written in verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." So you get the idea as you're coming in the gates of the temple. That's when this was written, the Old Testament. And you're drawing closer. And you come into the court. So you've gone past the outer doors. And now you're in the courts where you're closer to the place where God's presence was. And I just like that because that praising the Lord, giving the Lord thanks is a great way to draw near to the Lord, right? And not only that, for us Christians, right, this was written in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had the outer courts, the court of the Gentiles, and then there was other courts where the, you know, the Jewish people could go, and then even further, there was only a place where the priests could go, and then there was the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go in there except for one time a year, otherwise they would die. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he was crucified, God sent an earthquake that ripped the veil in the temple from top to bottom. God was doing that. He was opening the way to just unrestrained relationship, to nearness and closeness with the Lord. And how much more should we praise him, right? How much more? How much nearer can we be? Hallelujah. It just gets me excited, right? And anyway, I like this psalm too because it gives us three distinct reasons to praise the Lord. Sometimes, you know, if circumstances are bad or you know, just we're having a rough day, it can be really hard to feel like giving the Lord praise. And I love what Beth said at the beginning. It's a choice, but it's the right choice to make. And the psalm gives us three reasons to praise the Lord. The first one in verse 5 says, the Lord is good. Man. And I think Pastor Chris talked about she talked about this next part. The second reason is, it says, his unfailing love continues forever. And what he said was, there's no better example of God's love than what Christ did for us on the cross. Amen. Amen. And thirdly, it says, his faithfulness continues to each generation. And I love all those because they're all very distinct, but also super connected and related. And, you know, I've got scriptures to share and all that, but I would love it, church, if we could just take a few minutes and praise the Lord. We could just speak out praises to the Lord, just remembering those three things, his goodness. So when you speak and when you share testimony or edify us with a brief word, right? Brief, because we want to make opportunity for everybody, but also be loud too. That's my other thing I want to say. If you're going to share, be loud and be brief so that others can share, but also so we can hear you, because that's how we edify each other. If you just mumble something, people are they done? What are they saying? Right? It's just a practical thing here. So don't be afraid to be loud and be brief and share what's on your heart. So we're going to just for 5-ish minutes or so, remember that the Lord is good, that his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So we're going to do what the scripture says right now. So I'm going to go ahead and just turn my mic off. And I'm going to invite you guys to just speak out praises to the Lord. Shared God, the testimonies. And Lord, we just want to continue. God, just wrap this little section up with a prayer just to say thank you for your goodness, Lord. We know that you're good. Your goodness is easy to identify, Lord, in creation. Lord, in redeeming your creation through the blood of your Son, your faithfulness is undeniable. Lord, you're faithful to every generation. It's us, our parents, our grandparents, and the other way, our children, our grandchildren, Lord. And Lord, I just had feel like I'm supposed to encourage maybe some singles in here, people that want to be married or want to have children but don't, and just to encourage you, man, the Lord wants to raise up spiritual children through you. If you don't have physical children, don't say, oh, I'm a dry tree. That's what it says in Isaiah, but or man, I could be getting the book wrong, but it does say this in the Bible. So anyways, don't say I'm a dry tree, but invest in the kingdom of God. Invest in the kingdom of God. And the Lord says he'll give you an inheritance that's better than children. So I would just encourage you, saints, if you're single and you're discontent. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness, your unfailing love that continues forever. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk for a little bit because I said I had something for the Frozen Chosen, right? Super quick. So we talked about why it's right to give God thanks and praise. That's the right way to draw near to him, right? And the significance of that. And the next thing I want to say is thankfulness, right? Being thankful. It's the right way to be. It's the right way to live. The 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. And then verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So there's a clear command in Scripture to be thankful. Be thankful. That's God's will for us as believers. So anything God commands is going to be good, right? This isn't a self-serving command on God's part. You better be thankful to me. No, he's telling us to be thankful because it's good for us. Number one, it brings honor and glory to Jesus, who gave us this awesome, weighty sacrifice, right? The all-sufficient sacrifice that pays for all of our sins, that guaranteed a glorious and eternal inheritance and destiny that he secured for us. That can never be taken from us. Just as it says in Romans 8 here, it says, and I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have another reason right there. But here's some more tangible reasons for you guys to be thankful. I mean, I think the other ones were pretty tangible, but this is, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, well, you know, how's that going to benefit me? We get a little bit selfish and immature, but that's okay. I think God has something for us, even in the tangible temporal benefits. When we actively and purposefully decide we're going to thank the Lord, he's got things for us. Number one, in James 1:2-4, he says, brothers, let me just turn there. Actually, I had it memorized, but you know, I have it memorized in a different version. And anyways, all it says, and then when you're in front of everybody, sometimes you don't remember what you have memorized. James 1:2-4. Okay, I do have my count it all joy, my brothers, when you face various trials. This is going to turn into a paraphrase here. I'm nervous. For you know that your suffering will produce steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the first thing I want to tell you is that thankfulness and joy in bad circumstances, well, in all circumstances, but especially in bad circumstances, we can have a heart of thankfulness because we know God's doing something. He's doing something lasting and valuable in our lives through that. If we didn't know him, it'd just be a waste, right? It'd just be suffering for the sake of suffering. But God is using these things to change us. God is using these things to make us more like Jesus, to make us more humble, to make us stronger, patient, kind, right? To work into us the fruits of the Spirit. The second thing I wanted to point out is that thankfulness is actually really a key to contentment. It's a key to contentment and peace in our lives. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So there's that idea of thankfulness attached to peace. If we purpose in our hearts to actively be thankful to the Lord, he's going to give us peace. And the third thing is thankfulness. Thankfulness will drive worry and fear out of your life. I mean, how tangible, how important is that? I read one thing online where it said, like, even people that don't believe in God that were, like, clinically depressed, they had one group, like, journal and write down everything in their life they were grateful for and read it every day and think about it. And those people recovered from their depression so much faster than the people that didn't do that, because they'd set their mind on gratitude and they didn't even mention the Lord. How much more when we rightly give glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving to the one who is responsible for the blessings in our lives, no? Amen. So let me just read Philippians 4:6-7. We'll pray and get back to worshiping the Lord. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and listen and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which surpasses or exceeds, it says, anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And so just to sum that up, guys, the tangible benefits of thanksgiving are contentment. They are driving fear out of your life. And the Lord wants those things for you. So, Lord, thank you so much for your word. And please please bless us and urge us now to worship you. In Jesus' name.
Quite yet, we're not going to be done. I have this sense that I need to say something. Just even as they had this imperfect moment up here where they were singing in the wrong key, it made me think of how God still has shown up today. He's here in this place, and we're all blessed as we're being reminded of his goodness. But I just had this sense in my mind how so often we attribute perfection to our performance. Like we look at the things we're doing well and the things we're not doing well, and we let those things dictate whether we're good, whether we're a good spouse, whether we're a good parent, whether we're a good employee, whether we're good with God even. Even though we know that we're forgiven of our sin, we still look at the things we do, and it's such a weight to carry that around. Because we're not perfect. We drop the ball and we fail every day. But like we see with the worship team, God is not asking for perfection from you because you are perfect in his eyes. There is such security in knowing that truth. And you can rest in that. He doesn't ask for perfection. He just asks for obedience. And if there is anyone here carrying that weight around, feeling not good, because in your eyes you're not perfect, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you just raise your hand? Because I believe the Lord wants to free you of that weight today. We're just going to pray for you right now. Lord God, I lift up those, me included, that carry this weight so often of putting expectations of ourselves on ourselves that you never ask. Lord, we're good because our good God saved us and says we're good. And that's all that matters. And we can know we're good because the work that was done on that cross was perfect and complete. That's why you said it is finished. There's nothing left to be done to make you good in God's eyes. Maybe some are receiving that truth for the first time today as they place their faith in Jesus. But Lord, we don't want to leave this place putting requirements on ourselves that you never ask us to, that you said aren't ours to carry. It was too much for us to carry. That's why Jesus carried it on that cross. He carried it for us so that we could be free and we could walk in that freedom and that security of knowing that we are good by his blood. We are good because our Father says so. Just sing that chorus a couple more times, Beth. You can lead, and then you can close us in prayer when it feels right. We're going to go celebrate some of the Lord's goodness with our brothers and sisters that are proclaiming their faith in baptism back in the back under the overhang. So before you guys take off, I'm going to really encourage you to stick around. We've got coffee. We've got cinnamon rolls in the coffee shop. You can hit that on the way. And then head out there and celebrate with them. But let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for reminding us of your goodness today, Lord. Lord, we shouldn't have to think too hard to just see. We see the cross. And that is the greatest thing the goodest, the most, the best thing that's ever happened to us, that could ever be done for us, Lord. And that gives us every reason to praise you. But even in addition to that, as your word says, if there's a good thing in our life, it's come down from you. And we have so many. We don't have to think too hard. They far outweigh the bad things that we face in this world as a result of it being sinful and fallen. But one of those good things, too, is that we're not in this world forever. We're a part of your kingdom, which is forever. And when we get there, the stuff in this world, as your word says, will seem like a momentary light affliction because it'll be done forever. So we celebrate, we rejoice today being children of God. We rejoice in our great God. We rejoice in Jesus who has saved us. And Lord, as we move into a time of celebrating salvation through baptism and in fellowship with each other, may you continue to bless that time and give us increased reasons to be thankful as we go about this week of Thanksgiving, Lord, remembering all the things that you've done for us and that you're still going to do, that you've promised, that will continue to give us reason to thank you and worship you for all eternity. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you guys.